follow that, man. Word of God speak. It does. Problem is, sometimes we're too busy talking to hear it. Amen? It really is. We're in our third week / fourth week of 40 days in the Word. As you'll recall, the first week we talked about inspiration and the seven reasons we know, at least seven reasons we know that we can trust God's Word. It's not a human book. It is a divine Word. It is the Word of God. Last week, we talked about foundation, the seven reasons that God gave us His Word, how it can change our life, how it supports and undergirds all that we are. This week, we're going to look at the issue of illumination. And in general, as we look around us here, Jeff's already pointed out there's a lot of bright and yellow and everything else in the sanctuary. In general, the more light there is, the more clarity there is. The more light there is, the more clearly you can see things. And that's also true when it comes to God's Word. The more light, the more enlightened your mind is, the more illuminated, the more you're going to get out of reading God's Word. And so the natural question from that is, well, how does God illuminate my mind for His Word? Well, let's first define illumination. In my book, the way we're going to operate today, kind of the thesis is, illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to my life. Do a little background here. Before Jesus went back to heaven, He said, I'm going to heaven. After the resurrection, I'm going back there, but I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live with you and to live in you. And the Holy Spirit's job, among several things, one of them is to illuminate the Bible, to help you see the things in this book that you would not otherwise see. Let me share with you a couple of verses here. John 14:26. This is Jesus speaking. It says, Jesus said, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Everything that who has said? Jesus. Okay? He's telling the disciples, the Spirit is coming to remind you of the things that I've said. Then in verse 17, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us to understand the truth that's here in God's Word, the truth that is God's Word. And then in John 16:15, the Spirit will take from what is mine, and the reference here, these are the words of Jesus, okay? The Spirit will take from the words of Jesus and make it known to you, this illumination of the revelation of who Jesus is. It's God's Spirit saying, this is what God's Word means, and this is how it applies to you. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, said in chapter 1:17, I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you His Spirit. The Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. So all this is basically saying that this book is supernatural. Not only in the fact that it's God's Word, but it's the only book that you can probably ever read and at the same time talk to the author. Okay, so as you're reading that, you can talk to God, say, what does this mean for me? What does it mean in general? How is this going to make a difference in my life? How am I supposed to use this today? And as you ask, the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, maybe not physically speaking, but perhaps puts a thought or puts an impression or begins to kind of open your spiritual eyes. He illuminates, He lightens, and the light bulb comes on. You go, oh, okay, I get that. I get that. Later, continuing on in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul goes on to explain. He said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart. Oh, wait a minute. The eyes of your heart? Explain that in just a minute. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be illuminated, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, that phrase, the eyes of your heart, look at that for just a minute. What are your senses for? Think about that. The physical senses that you have. Seeing, hearing, touching. What are all those for? That's really how we experience the world, isn't it? If you think about it in that way. Our senses were given because that's how we experience the world. If one of those senses is taken away, the others are heightened so that you can compensate and truly experience the world. Well, the eyes of your heart then are spiritual senses. It's the senses that God gives us so that we can experience the spiritual world. Again, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Enlightened. That the Greek word there is the word that we get the word photo from. Photo, photograph. Think about what a photograph is. We had a tremendous answer in 9 o'clock service. I'm sorry, I'm not going to lay that out there because everything else would pale, okay? What is a photograph? A photograph is light on a piece of paper or through digitization. It is an image of light, an image born of light. So to enlighten means to shine the light on something, literally speaking. So when you're reading your Bible, you know, those moments that you have where you go, oh, I get it. Those aha moments. That's when you've been illuminated. The words have come alive to you. You find out what it means and how it applies to you. That's illumination. So what actually happens when God opens your spiritual eyes then? Several things here. When God opens your spiritual eyes and you see things as he wants you to see, first of all, you begin to see the solution to your problems. I don't know about you, but I have a few of them, just a few. And as you're thinking through your problems that you may have, you know, how is God going to allow you to see the solution for those things? Well, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes so that you can begin to see the world through God's eyes, a little bit different perspective from God's point of view. And you can do that through God's word. Now, I know some people that have the Christopher Columbus method. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to find a land and land on it. You know, and you read that and you go, well, God, speak to me through there. Well, I'm not saying he can't use that, but I found it by experience that it works a little bit better if you're in a systematic Bible study, if you're reading God's word daily. And as you sit down to begin your time of study, you say, Father, I've got an issue here I'm trying to work out. Please show me something today. Show me something from your word that will help me with that. I find that that works a little bit better, okay? God can use his word. He does use his word to help us find the solution to our problems. The second thing he does with our spiritual eyes is we begin to see the barriers to our progress. There are some things in life that you see and you just can't seem to find your way around it. Barriers that are put up, it may be in terms of finances or relationships or whatever it may be. Barriers is there, and you say, I just can't seem to get around it, Lord. Your eyes need to be open. They need to be illuminated. Let me share with you a great story. It comes from Numbers chapter 22. It's the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God, but Balaam decided he was going to help the bad guys, okay? He was going to help the enemy here. And we pick up the story in verse 22 of Numbers 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going to the bad guys. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. Balaam's donkey suddenly saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey saw him, but Balaam didn't, okay? And the donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. If you can see the humor here, it's great stuff. The second time, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. It's even narrower. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So what did Balaam do? Beat the donkey, yeah. Third time, scripture says, then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. Donkey just laid down. And in a fit of rage, guess what Balaam did? He beat the donkey. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a donkey speak to me. This is a supernatural moment, okay? It truly is. And it's something that should not be lost on us. I remember when I was kind of struggling with the call to preach, my father giving me great fatherly counsel said, son, if the Lord can speak through Balaam's donkey, surely he can do something with you. Those are the words of encouragement that just touch a man's heart. I mean, they really do. You know, so this is a supernatural moment. This donkey speaks to Balaam. And Balaam, I guess if a donkey speaks to you, you better answer it. I don't know. But Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Circle that. That's illumination. He opened Balaam's eyes. And now Balaam saw the problem. It says he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. Yikes. That will get your attention. So what does Balaam do now that his eyes are open and he's seen what in front of him? Scripture says he bowed low and fell face down and he worshiped God. That's an appropriate response. Now this is a strange story, granted. Multiple sermons could spin out of this story. But here's the point to it. You have plans in your life that just don't seem to work out. You've tried going this way and that way. The path keeps getting blocked. You get your foot crushed. You get upset. You get frustrated. All of this stuff. And you really have a couple choices. You can ask God to show you the nature of why he's blocking your path, or you can beat your donkey. Spiritually speaking, literally speaking, however. I mean, those are your two options. You can get frustrated, or you can talk to God about it. Say, "Show me your path." Third thing, when God opens your spiritual eyes, you begin to see the defense for what's attacking you. I don't know if you've ever felt attacked. Spiritually speaking or relationally speaking, things, maybe your body, you feel like you're being attacked by germs. You know, it is cold and flu season coming up. You know, and if you haven't experienced it yet, you probably will. All right, some point where you feel under attack, or maybe you're being attacked by former friends or something like that, or your family you feel like is under attack, and you're being beaten down maybe by guilt and those type of things. And you're thinking you're all alone and that God, you know, what is God doing in all this? And you begin to ask these kind of questions. There's a great story. The Old Testament's filled with some good stuff, people. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha and the Arameans. Now, the nation of Aram was always at war with Israel. And what was going on? They were getting into this cycle. The king of Aram had all these great plans to attack Israel. And he would lay out these beautiful strategies, and before he knew it, he would attack, and he was defeated because it seemed as if Israel always knew what he was going to do before they ever got there. And this is getting kind of, he was all out of fun with this. All right, so he's thinking, you know, I've got a traitor. I've got a traitor in my midst. I can't win. No matter what plan I come up, somebody is telling my secrets to the Israelites. And we pick up the story in verse 10 of 2 Kings 6. This happened several times, so the king of Aram became very upset over it. He called in his officers and he demanded, "Which one of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet of Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." And the king said, "You go find out where Elisha is, and we're going to send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." And Dothan was a little town there in Israel. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when Elisha's servant got up early the next morning and went outside, he saw the city surrounded by these troops, by chariots and by horses. And he goes back in and he tells Elisha, "What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?" And Elisha replied, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." And the servant's thinking, "Yeah, right. Yeah, you need to come out here and look, buddy." Yeah, and then in verse 17, it says, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes." Illumination. Open his eyes. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked out, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Well, now that changes things, doesn't it? That certainly, he's not afraid anymore. You lose your fear when God is near. And he is near whether you can see him or not. The rest of the story plays out. As the Aramean army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed out, "Oh Lord, make them blind. Remove the illumination. Make them blind." Remember what he could have prayed? Kill them all. Let's be done with this. Let's end this right here. He didn't. He said, just blind them. And the Lord did as Elisha asked. So Elisha went out and told them, "You've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I'll take you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. Guess who's at Samaria? The king of Israel with the army. Yeah. With the army there. And here's this picture of Elisha leading the enemy army. You know, they've all been blinded. One guy leading them right into the hand of the Israelite army. And it says in Scripture, as soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." And the Lord did that. And they discovered that they were in Samaria. Oh my. And when Elisha's king, the king of Israel, saw the captive enemy army, he shouted to Elisha, "Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha told him. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again." So the king of Israel made a great feast for the Aramean army, and then he sent them home to their king. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Well, yeah, I guess so. You see, the easiest way to get rid of an enemy is to turn them into a friend. Take the impossible circumstances, give them to God, see what he can do. God needs to open your eyes so that you can see all the resources that he's commanded to take care of you. See with spiritual eyes. The fourth benefit of being able to see with spiritual eyes, to have my mind illuminated, is I see how God is walking with me. You see, when God opens my eyes, I see that he is journeying with me. He's been there all along. He set that path out, and he's walking down that path with us. And there's a beautiful story in Luke chapter 24. This occurred on the day that Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And he's walking with a couple of disciples. He's walking with them, and they don't recognize him. They don't realize who he is. Picking up in Luke chapter 24, by this time they, being the disciples of Jesus, were nearing Emmaus at the end of their journey. Jesus would have gone on, but they begged him to stay the night with him since it was getting late. And so he went home with them. They still don't recognize him here. And as they sat down to eat, Jesus took a small loaf of bread, asked God's blessing on it, broke it, and then gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. It was illuminated. And they recognized him. In their grief, they could not see that Jesus was with them the whole time. They had experienced enormous loss and they couldn't see. They needed illumination. I don't know all of your specific losses during the course of this year. Some of you may have lost family, friends. You may have lost your health. You may have lost your job. I don't know all the details of all of your lives, but God does. And he's journeying with you. He's journeying with you. See him. See what he's doing in your life. Hopefully you're beginning to get a picture of how important, how vital to our Christian walk illumination is. Without illumination, you just look at a book and it doesn't make sense to you. It's just words on a page. And you say, well, how do I get it then? I mean, I understand the value of it, so how do I get it? Let me make five suggestions to you, five quick suggestions. Five things to get your eyes open, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so he can illuminate and enlighten your mind. First of all, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that. You can't just know about Jesus. You can't just know details about his life. You have to know him personally. You have to have a relationship with him. And until you have that relationship, I'm sorry, you're blind. Spiritually speaking, you're blind. You can only see from a human viewpoint. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is why it's nonsense to expect non-believers to act like believers. It's nonsense to say, here's how you ought to act. They have no power by which to act that way. 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. The devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news. And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God until he is born again. You have to have that relationship. Second of all, you need to ask God to open your eyes by faith. In faith, open up your eyes. Last week, I gave you a prayer from Psalm 119, verse 18. It goes like this. God, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your laws, that I may see wonderful things in your word. I would suggest you pray that every time you sit down with God's word. Father, open my eyes that I can see wonderful things. Because there are wonderful things in his book. There are wonder-filled things in his book. Pray and ask God, illuminate my eyes. And what's God's promise? In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and will watch over you. That's his promise to you. Ask him for illumination. Ask him. Third, come with a humble attitude. If I come to God's word and say, God, I've pretty much got my life figured out, but if you got a little tidbit here to kind of icing on the cake, I'd appreciate it. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Psalm 25, 9 says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way, not our way. Teaches them his way. He guides the humble. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We have a class named after this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will do what? Make your path straight. Another translation says direct your path. Lean on him. He will point you down the right path. God's word seems pretty clear. We need to come to him with an humble heart, seeking his ways. Number four. Cleanse your heart of sin and conflict. Now, I cannot get my eyes opened. It's really difficult to get my spiritual eyes tuned into God's word if my mind and my life are full of junk. That's a deep spiritual term there, junk. If it's full of junk, what kind of junk? Sin, conflict, personal conflicts with my neighbors, all those type of things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It doesn't say blessed are the perfect people. It says the pure in heart. And the distinction is none of us are perfect. But the idea, the principle is for us to confess those shortcomings. That's what makes us pure in heart, the confession, giving those shortcomings, giving those sins, those conflicts. Back to God. Finally, number five, commit in advance to do what God says. Make that commitment right up front to do what God says. What he teaches you, commit to do it. Psalm 119, verse 33 and 34, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them. Teach me, God, and I'll do it. Teach me, I'll do it. You see, promise, commitment, I'll keep it. You teach me, I'll do it. Give me understanding and I'll keep your laws. I'll obey with all my heart. Whatever you show me that you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Why? Because acting on it is what God desires from us. Bible knowledge does no good if it's not acted upon. And seldom does God give you step two until you step out with step one. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ask God in faith, open my eyes, Father. Come with an humble attitude. Cleanse your heart. Pour it out to him. Let him cleanse you of sin and conflict in your life. And then commit in advance to do what God shows you. What he teaches you. Try those things this week. Try them. I know it's a process, not a one-time act. It's a process. Try approaching God's word like that this week, and I know he's going to make a difference. I know he will. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, the principles of your word, the promises of your word. And God, we pray that as we, as your people, continue to look into your word, that you would open our eyes and truly show us what you desire from us. And Father, then empower us through your spirit to act upon it, to put it into place in our life. God, and as we do that, we know that you'll get the glory because you are living through us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the promises that you give. Father, we pray that as we live out our lives, that we would point other people to you. That as our eyes are open, that we would lead others to know how they can have a relationship with you. All of these things we ask in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Step number one was a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, that is obviously step number one. And today, we're going to sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'd love to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're not yet a believer, I'll share with you how you can have that relationship. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I never really thought about God's word in that way, how powerful it is and how it can lead my life and all of those things, certainly talk with God where you are. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this church, I highly recommend it. I am a member myself. And we would love to talk with you about the ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you as we stand and sing together now, make that decision. Be honest with God as we sing together. Stand with me.